What's going on, guys? It's Punchy here. We got another episode of By The Way going. That's going to be Taking Back Sunday with Timberwolves at New Jersey that you're listening to in the background of my talking right now. Yeah. So, it's been a couple weeks, right? Yeah, it's definitely been a couple weeks since the last time I've done the show. And what I'm going to point out is I had very good reason to not do the show the last couple weeks. You can probably hear my voice is a little weird now. That's because the last couple weeks I've been having throat issues. I had lost my voice pretty much for a couple days. And I still did my comedy shows because, again, I get booked so infrequently at this point that I'm doing shows that I'm booked for. Especially, I wasn't going to miss Joe Conte's birthday show. I wasn't going to at all. Oddly enough, I did a really good job hosting, but my voice was so shitty that I just cannot use that video because I was doing it as I was losing my voice. So there was some weirdness there in that video. So I was like hoping to use that video to get some side cash hosting or something. Get some paid spots as a host. But now that's probably not going to happen since I was losing my fucking voice. It was cool. I mean, it was awesome to see Dennis and Rose there, Robin, all listeners of some of the shows there. Some people came there, like comedians who weren't on the show, like Joe Fernandez was there. KP Burke, who was on Brain Stew Wrestling a couple weeks ago, he was there what I usually do at the shows, which is seating. So that was actually pretty awesome of him to do, to kind of like give me a chance to get into the mindset of hosting, so I had nothing else to worry about except for just doing my job as a host. And I think I did like one of my better hosting jobs. And I think what was impressive about that for me, like honestly being someone who's typically self-critical, is that it was in front of a crowd that I usually don't do well against. I usually am not that great in front of like middle-aged audience members, which I mean, granted, it's most of the audience that you're going to get at a lot of these clubs because they're, it's like an older person date night. So, it's good that I did well in front of a crowd like that, but I stopped being stubborn and assuming that everybody knew what millennials knew as far as references go, and I did a lot better. Like, I form-fitted to the crowd, which is something I should have probably done, 3 years ago. So, who knows? But it was fun. It was Conte's birthday, so I was out of it later than I normally would be. And then the next day, I had the Dave and Annie experience, Dave Durkin and Annie Weiss, who run shows up here in North Jersey. They had what they called their 8-minute dating show, which was fantastic. Well, it was fun, actually. I got paired with a friend of mine, Jackie Byrne, so it was a fun banter going on. I had some people from work actually go to the show, so that was pretty cool. I also, I made the most in one weekend that I made doing comedy, that involved me actually performing ever. I got paid for hosting, and then I got money because people came to the show. So I was happy about that, and, yeah. So, but I was losing my voice, which sucked. I got to miss a day of work from it, though, because I was like, I had a show. I'm not gonna, destroy my voice for 8 hours and then go do a show and have my voice be even worse. So I rested that day. You can't blame me, though, for wanting to rest my precious cords. Here's the timeline. My throat started feeling weird during the tail end of Brain Stew Wrestling, which KP Burke guested on. And following that, the next day, I started losing my voice. Let's see. So, yeah, then progressively I was like, all right, well, maybe we'll be fine by Friday, which was the Conte show, April 1st, for his birthday. And, it was still bad, to the point where people were wondering why I was at work that day. And I still somehow, got through that, did the show, and bam, I'm mad that I did so well with my voice being that shitty, because that would have easily been a very good video to get me some paid work. Like, that would have been great, because, listen, the way I approach comedy is probably going to be changing, because I'm 33, which I'll get into later, But I still, it'd be nice to get more paid spots for it, right? Like, it'd be good to get paid. So, I went with that. And, you know, I want to get hosts. I want to get paid spots. You know, I mean, I'm going to get into that later. There's a lot I'm going to get into later as far as how I am in general going to handle things going forward in life. But, you know, as you guys have probably noticed, I like to break up my segments, deep personal stuff and entertainment or other news stuff. So I'm going to point this out. The Walking Dead finale, I'm one of the few people who actually loved how they did it and what they did. First off, I like to have they had a whole cat and mouse game with Rick's group and Negan's group, where every time they tried to get the hilltop, their route was blocked off by Negan's men. I thought that was pretty spectacular. I also thought that that Jeffrey Dean Morgan as Negan in the 10 or 11 minutes that he was on screen was great, and he's going to be an awesome Negan, and I can't wait to see everything play out, and I hope it does play out the way it does in the comics, because if it does, that means we're getting a lot of Negan. Like, we are going to get so much Negan in the next couple seasons. It's going to be, if they do what they did in the comics, it'll be great. So that's a plus right there. Now, what really got people mad, though, because it wasn't a bad episode. Like, people were like, oh, it's such a bad episode. Cause, no, they're pissed because they don't know who dies yet. They've got to wait for that. That's why they're mad. They're being, like, they want one of that instant gratification, or in some cases, they want it to be able to process their possibly their favorite characters being killed over the course of a summer. And now they've got to wait for that. And, again, I think that was a spectacular move. It's a dick move, I'll admit it, but it was a spectacular move to do to keep them waiting on finding out who is actually the one who Negan kills in retaliation for Rick's group killing a bunch of people. So I actually liked the fact that they went that route. Because, and it, you know what? It kept people talking, and someone would go, well, for the wrong reasons, but no, not really, because you know what? All the people complaining about this are now going to be watching the Season 7 premiere. Like, it will set records, because people want to know. They have to know who Negan killed. So, don't give me this, nobody's going to watch now, because they're so mad at that. Yeah, I'm going to stop watching the show. You know, people who say they're going to stop watching a show because of a cliffhanger are dummies, because they're going to watch. Just like I'm annoyed with the if Daryl dies or so-and-so dies, we riot or we're not watching the show, people, guess what's going to happen? They're going to move on and watch the show. They're not just watching it for one character, especially like the Daryl Dixon crowd I don't get, because his appearances lately have just been non-speaking cameos. So it's at this point, so it's like, that's not going to really detract from what you've been liking from the show. So shut up, dummies. As what I'm saying about that. I'm sorry, I get aggressive when I talk stuff like The Walking Dead. I know, I do. But it's such a shitstorm. And like the troll in me, like my inner troll, loves the fact that they did that. Because it's just going to be fantastic the next summer and the hype for it. I wonder how they're going to promote it, though. Because they're going to have to like not show a few characters in the promotion for the next season. Because they gotta, like, make people not sure who dies. Now, I've heard a couple theories about it, though. Like, I've heard, like, people have deciphered audio, and they're saying it's one character, and they're saying, well, this happens with another. And they're like, oh, well, if you look at the order they did, they're not gonna do it. They're not gonna, like, they're gonna do some sort of trick editing with the edit. And you're not really knowing how Negan was walking. They showed a couple people he was pointing to, but, again, you don't know what directions Negan was walking. He could have been walking so many other ways. So that's another thing to point out as well. I think it's either going to be Daryl or Glenn. My money's more on Glenn, but that's just what I think. That could be different. It could not be the case. So there's that. Now, I want to talk about something. Donald Zade's near and dear to me. I would just say, So... there are certain people in my life who've kind of been anti, like, not very positive about their body. And I've been, like, kind of trying to tell them, listen, no, it's not the case. You look good. Stop, like, what are you doing? Why are you complaining about yourself? And I've done it passionately, like, to the point where they just are, like, strange. They feel strange that I actually think that, because they're just like, why? Why would you? I don't. And I'm like, no, because you're, like, you've there's nothing wrong, and they just keep doing it. So I've been doing a lot. I've been doing a lot of like self thinking this past weekend, which has been weird for me. But a lot of things are weird for me. But and I've realized I'm a bit of a hypocrite with that because I am very, very, very negative about myself physically. Like I get it. Like minus a few things, I'm a handsome guy. I get it, but one of those things is weight, and the other is my just shitty hairline that I have, which if I could, I would just get this hairline taken care of immediately, so I look like I have human hair, all right? So I don't look like a weirdly painted action figure. That would be nice. And I would obviously, you know, like I'd fix this, like this whole fat situation in a way that's quick to take care of. Granted, I could just eat. I could just do working. I could just start working out again. I'm not eating horribly anymore. Okay, sometimes I eat horribly, but at this present moment, I'm not eating terribly. So it's like I could very easily get back into the saddle of eating better. Or exercising, I should say. I very well could, but for some reason, I just haven't been doing it. Maybe just because I haven't had the chance to just go to the gym. I haven't added it to my routine. I've got my DDP yoga stuff with me. I should probably start doing that more often. I should just do something to start dropping this weight because I want to look good again. Like I really do. Like, I think I look like shit, and I want to look awesome again because I was looking really good at one point, like before, like this whole downslope started, like, and I delusional me, for when it started. Wasn't listening to friends of mine, like, saying, hey, dude, you know, you're starting to, like, put on some weight back on. You should, you know, you were doing good. Stop it. And I was like, ah, no. I was like, hey, you know what? I did awesome with this DDP yoga. I lost so much weight. I can do it. I can drop a few more pounds. And I kept saying I can drop a few more pounds until I ballooned up to where I am now. So now I'm pissed at myself and miserable at the fact that I got to where back to where I am. And I look at myself during Brain Stew Wrestling on the monitor, and I get paranoid about how much weight I've actually gained, because I can tell, like, I don't know how many people notice it, but I can tell looking at certain spots of the screen of where I am, and I'm just like, it's scaring me how much I've put back on. So I know that I need to take care of this at all, and it also makes, like, looking in the mirror interesting, because I just see a molten blob of skin after I take a shower. I'm like, what the fuck happened? Like, I wasn't, like, a year and a half ago, I was fantastic. Why did I do this to myself? That's what's going through my mind. Like, hey, you look like shit, Mike. All right, you literally are the worst looking thing in anybody's life right now, because you've gained it. Why? I look at the pictures of myself when I was thinner, and I'm like, I look fantastic. Like, why don't I look like this now? And it fucks with me. It really, really messes with me. So, like, sometimes I feel like I shouldn't be the one trying to help people be body posy, because, like, I really am not when it comes to myself. And, like, even when I was thinner, though, like, it's weird. Like, I was like, I look good, and then I'm like, I would take off clothing. Like, yeah, but there's still fat here. Like, I got to get rid of all of it. And then at some point, something flipped, and I was like, give me the carbs, give me the melted cheese, give me the grease. I just YOLO. So, I need to start eating better. Like, I gotta make sure I'm eating completely better. Like, I eat better. I eat pretty good when I'm at work. Like, I'm not too unhealthy when I'm at work. Even when I'm, like, at places, like, people's places and hanging out, I'm not that bad. But when I'm, like, out to my own devices and I'm like, hey, I've got to go fend for myself somewhere, I'm more likely to go, screw it, I'm going to go to a fast food place as opposed to going somewhere where I'm going to eat healthier. So that happens. That becomes a thing. And then I just get annoyed at myself for being fat for hours and hours on end as I try to tell other people, hey, no, you look great. And I legitimately mean that they look great. But again, I shouldn't be the one saying be positive about yourself, because I'm the opposite of self-positivity when it comes to what I look like. And I'm glad I'm getting to actually let this out on a forum so it's not in my head. It's the greatest feeling ever. But at the same time, I've got to do something about it. Like, I do. Like, after I record this mess of a show, I've got to, like, get my yoga mat out and start doing the yoga. Like, that's what I really, really need to do. I need to do it ASAP. I need to find time to work out. Find time to take walks. Like, places that I crash at, I can't, like, there's sidewalks now. I have no excuse. When I lived in my old house that I used to live in, I had the excuse of there's no sidewalks. I can't walk. I got to drive to a, like, far to a place to do walking. Or the other excuse I had was, hey, you know what? I need to, you know, need to go to the gym more. I need to start doing that. I should do that if I want to drive and work out. Whatever. I've got a million different ways that I can be working out and I should be working out. Or, okay, like in the last apartment I lived in with, you know, Bill, former third Mike of Brain Stew, for about 3 months, I had a problem working out with the DDP yoga because it was all hardwood floors. So my mat was literally hurting my knees to the point where I couldn't do the workouts. So I gotta get back and started again. I think what I'm going to do is I'm going to start having friends like take the pictures for me for DDP yoga just so I can see what I look like now. And that'll motivate me to get back into doing it. And that, again, hopefully that will be what fixes me. So, and gets me back in the right direction. Because I am tired of being a fatty, all right? I am sick and tired of it. I really, really, really do not want to be that fat again. So, I've got some work to do again. It feels like I'm just a medley of work that needs to be done on my physical self. And again, it's just getting annoying. It's getting so annoying that I have to keep doing this. And again, I've lost weight before, and I've lost a decent amount, not as much as I lost this past time. And I thought I was doing very well and that this was going to get me over the hump. But apparently there's some stuff that's needed to be sorted out, and I've needed to get out of some situations for me to finally be able to do what I would call a lasting weight loss. And there's a lot of little, like, I can kind of tell when I'm, like, ready to work out and ready to better myself physically, and I can tell when I'm not. Like, here's how I can tell when I'm better at it. Like, I'm putting, like, lately I've been putting more effort in myself physically. Not with the hair, because my hair's a mess. I can't fix that. People have seen my hairline. I should wear hats more often, like caps or something, or, you know, the hipster hats that I wore, like, when I was thinner. Whatever it takes. But, for example, for the Conti show, typically when I do comedy, I'm like, fuck it, I'm wearing a t-shirt or one of my work shirts and jeans. No, for the Conti show, I wore a nice black button-up shirt, black dress pants, and my Chucks. All right, I looked great. Like, I'm putting more effort into what I look like lately. I'm actually, like, next payday, going with a friend, and that friend, who's got a better sense of style than I do, is going to be picking out clothing for me at this current weight. And we've made an agreement that I'm going to go do two more trips, one when I'm in the middle ground weight-wise and the other when I'm at my goal weight, to, like, just so I look as good as possible. And, like, I'm pretty sure I've got a decent look right now. I've got a decent look a decent potential look for when I get back down there, I should say. Like, I'm still going to wear wrestling shirts and metal shirts. It's just part of my style. But, like, I'm going to other band shirts and stuff like that, and, like, movie shirts. But, like, it's going to be one of those things where I wear, like, an unbuttoned, like, button-up shirt over the shirt or a blazer over the shirt. I feel like that's going to be my I'm thin look. It's just a look that I like and I want to try, but I'm too fat to do right now. Because, listen, wearing blazers when you're fat, I'm going to point out, it's not a good look. Like, because you got to get a really, really large blazer for it. And they just look comical on larger guys. So I've got to work on that. It's funny. I'm body negative, but I'm showing, hey, you know what? I'm getting better to where I can, like, work out again. And I really, really pointed out I'm getting out of the environments that I've been in the last few, however many years. Because I've noticed when I started really going back to shit. I tried to blame it on so many things. I tried to blame it on, like, getting back into dating, which, oddly enough, like, I say I hate it a lot, actually, but when I actually go out on the dates, I have fun. Like, it's weird. Like, I have a lot of fun. I'm just terrible at maintaining things with a complete stranger. So, but, like, when I actually go out on the dates, I have a lot, I'm a fun guy to talk. I can talk. And I'm entertaining to talk to. I've had a lot of good first dates, and then everything just fell apart because I take too long to get, or, like, the situations arise where it's like, hey, it's been 2 weeks. I guess it's like dead time now, right? Like, you can't continue that. So I can't blame that as the reason for the stress that I ballooned up in weight. I've really only got two things I can blame, like two like super toxic environments that I can really blame. The one is going to be my job because it's a desk job. Like, a lot of people will get a desk job and their life will go to shit. Like, when I got the ball rolling for DDP Yoga, I was unemployed. So I had the free time to get up and be like, hey, I'm going to eat healthy. I'm going to work out. And then I'm going to do my thing for the rest of the day. And then, yeah. So I was able to do that. And then even with the job, I was starting to lose more. I was dropping a lot of weight because I was still on a routine. And then just, again, something clicked. Like, the one thing I can blame dating for on that is I started going out more and eating unhealthier, and it's like, hey, I got to get more of this. Yeah. So, and I got to get back to, I'm eating healthier at the places that I'm at. Like, I'm actually shopping at Whole Foods and Trader Joe's and getting stuff that's better for me. I've got to cut down on the going out. I've got to cut down on the ordering out, and I got to cut down on the going to fast food for breakfast because I woke up too late to make breakfast on my own. Yeah. Sorry, I'm just thinking of things about myself, and I'm like, why did, like, I'm annoyed at myself a little bit. Yeah, I don't know. I don't know. I'm thinking of a lot of stuff. It's fine. I can pause. I'll call that a pause for dramatic effect. That's what we'll say. So, yeah, so I feel like I'm getting better than where I was before. And I'll get more into, like, the life aspect of it, but the physically, like, I'm, like, again, I'm wanting, like, that's kind of, like I said, one of my warning signs that I'm actually ready to start dropping weight and looking better, is that I'm putting more of an investment in myself. Like, and I was trying to for a while, but my mind wasn't there. Like, I was buying, like, XL shirts that I'm not going to be able to wear until I get smaller again. I was buying XL shirts to wear in the future, and I'm like, hey, maybe I should, you know, hey, I'm spending money on these shirts to fit into them. I need to wear them. But it's like, hey, no, you're not. You're still eating shitty. I'm thinking maybe getting my goal shirts in a size large, by the way, so that, like, I go, hey, I can shrink it to a large. Let's do this. I cannot shrink too much. I don't want to be a skinny dude. Like, I think large is the smallest I can go without being a stick figure. So, you know, I've got to work on that. But, yeah, I want to get to where I'm positive about myself, but I've got to get back to, you know, back to what I've been doing to get there. And I think I can do it. I'm pretty sure I can do it. That's the one spot in my life where I'm like, where I'm not non-cynical about, is what I'll say. Enough about me, though. Let's talk about the Deftones, because their album Gore is fantastic. I don't know if I put it above the Killswitch album. I definitely put it above the Caliban album. I'll put, so far, Gore and Incarnate, Deftones and Killswitch, like 1A and 1B from what I've heard thus far this year, with the new Caliban being, like, right behind. So, it just shows the maturity of the Deftones. These guys have went from being, like, a new metal band, which that's NU, by the way, guys, to being just one of the better, like, alt-metal bands out there. And, like, they're consistently one of the higher quality bands in the genre. So, it's a great album. The vocals are great as well. Chino's always been great with the vocals. He has a little more screaming. My favorites were Prayers, Triangles, Hearts, Wires, and Xenon. But I'm going to listen to it again after the show, and as I clean up the mess of having a board here to do this show. And then I'm going to listen to it a third time, because why the fuck not? And it's going to get as many repeat listens as the Killswitch album did when I started, whenever songs were coming out. I also listened to the Alexis on Fire live album, and it's a live album. You know, the songs I like are there, so that's cool. And but it's one of the better live albums. The sound quality is really good, and it's Alexis on Fire or Alexis on Fire. I've been a long time fan of that band, but I've heard so many different pronunciations for their name
And they don't help by not spacing out the name, which I think was done on purpose. And it's like an all lower caps, no spaces name. So it gets tougher for me. Another album I liked that came out this year was the Macklemore CD. I don't like it as much as The Heist. I think he could have done better on there. Like some of the songs are really good, but then some of the songs fall a little flat. So yeah, I would still like, there's the first song on it though, the title track, Light Tunnels, is great. It's like one of my favorites. Yeah, so I would recommend the Deftones album, definitely. And yeah. So, sorry, I was looking at a few things here, and I'm just like, there's something I'm about to get into after I talk about albums, and it's like, it's a tough thing for me to admit. I'm gonna point this out. Like, this is gonna be like, I'm sure there's friends of mine who are gonna be like, finally he gets it. Like, I have just been living my life the entirely wrong way. And I don't mean, like, physically, like, health-wise. I just mean how I went about life. Like, I've pushed things off. Like, I put off getting an actual career, getting a college degree, starting a family, like, by this age. Like, all things that friends of mine are doing that I just have been putting off. And there's a mix of reasons why I put this stuff off. For a while, I just didn't think that it was what I wanted. And I don't know if, like, I really thought that a few years ago, or if I was just in a panic and thought to myself, hey, no, you're going to be a star. You're going to be a podcasting star. You're going to be a comedy star. You're going to direct movies and be awesome. You need to focus on that. Focus on you, bro. Which is fine and dandy in your early 20s, but I shouldn't have been concentrating on this as the main priority in my late 20s to early 30s. Like, I shouldn't have been. And there are people who are going to doubt that I'm being genuine here, but I'm being 110% genuine. I wish I hadn't pushed off working towards the things that I did. And it, like, again, and people, there are people who will probably say, well, if you always wanted it, you would have gotten it done. And in some cases, that's correct. But some people have the drive to do that immediately. Some people don't initially have that drive. Sometimes that drive takes time to build up. And it took me some time to build up that drive. So it's not that I've never wanted it and then, like, I still don't want it and I just think I want it. No, it's just that I've now got the drive to do it. So I'm just like, you know, I've been thinking about it. I've been thinking about, what do I want? Like, and the whole thing about that is, before I get to that, though, I'm going to point out, like, I was delusional thinking that I could be a success story in comedy starting at 28 years old. People are like, be careful, you're getting too old, you might be a little too old for it, it's going to hurt you. And I'm like, no, look at, like, Colin Quinn and Rodney Dangerfield. The problem is, though, I wanted to do well in comedy, but I was in the trap of stage time, but not working on the writing, not doing the at-home stuff, because I was doing, like, stage time 5 days a week while I was unemployed. Like, every night I was doing stage time, but I wasn't really working on material. And then I would work on material and not go for stage time, and then I would come out rusty from the lack of stage time. So really, like, I haven't even picked up a good enough routine to get myself better overall at this point, almost 5 years in. And yes, maybe I should be getting more booked shows. And I know, like, people who think I should just stick with it completely will say, well, you know, just get it together, get more stage time, you'll be fine. But there's some people, a lot of people are discovered when they're younger. Like, it's gonna be tough. Like, it's gonna take an absolutely once in a million luck chance for anything to happen. So now I'm, like, in a place where I'm like, I still want to do comedy because I can be decent at it, but it's not my number one priority at this point. To be honest, podcasting is not even my number one priority to this point. My number one priority to this point is going back to school and getting some sort of a degree in something I want to do, like for TV production, for example. Like I think like being a cameraman or movie pro, you know, just to work in TV and film in a like behind the scenes role, like as a cameraman or like an editor or something like that. Like I don't exactly have to direct, but I can get a lot of good work doing being a cameraman, for example, or editing. A lot of good work for it. Like, and when I was in college back in the day, one of the classes that I fared the best in was TV production. Like, I did really good. My group's project got an A in that class. Like, I did a funny skit, which should have made me say, hey, I'm going to do comedy now instead of waiting till I was 28. But I wrote a really good skit that was pretty funny. It was making fun of a certain group of white kids. But everyone did their job. Even the people slacking weren't able to screw it up. So that's what I liked. So, you know, I was very hands-on with how the skit went. I was actually the one, I directed it because it was my script. So that was awesome. And we did a really good job. So I should have just stuck with that as my goal. Like, yeah, I love podcasting, I'm talking, but I was really good in that class. Like, I should have stuck to podcasting, stuck to radio and podcasting. But I'll go over to that in a set later, though, again. But I'm very delusional when it comes to my comedy because, like, people are like, yeah, but it's been 5 years, you do much better now. But I look at it, like, delusional Mike will say, yeah, but you didn't hear me 5 years into doing radio. I was still in college the fifth year. Like, I don't even think I had met Hammy at that point. Like, I was terrible as a DJ in 5 years in, too. Like, I didn't really come into my own too much later. So that's kind of the argument I kept giving as far as, you know, sticking with comedy as my top priority in life. Because I'm like, hey, you know what, I got better. But you know what, when I was doing radio like that, being a radio host was not my top priority. Like, 5 years in, I was doing radio at college. I was a music DJ. I wasn't a talk show host. I would play 3 songs, come back, and go, hey guys, what's going on? This is Mike in WCCM. Here's the new E-Town Concrete, and play it. Like, that's how my radio career was for years. But my best part of it was behind-the-scenes stuff, like interning at record labels and promotion companies, you know, being a music director, doing charts. Like, I was awesome at that. Like, I was a shitty radio host back then. But now, like, I'm just like, but I'm like I said, I've been very delusional. I should realize, listen, I mean, I still want to do comedy because I've grown such a great social circle from doing comedy, like just a great supportive just circle of friends from doing it. I don't want to just quit comedy and not be in that circle. So it's still got to be some part of my life, you know? Right now, it can't be my main priority. I'm still going to try to get paid spots because it's nice to have extra money no matter what your career is. It's just nice, you know? It would be nice to get side, you know, just even as side cash to supplement whatever income I'm doing. That would be nice, but really it's social circle maintenance and just, you know, having fun, like removing all the pressure of trying to make it, which at this age and with my experience level is not very likely. So, you know, I'll still do the open mics from occasion and that and do like shows as I'm booked, but I can't put all of my time in it. I don't have enough time in life in general, no matter what age, to focus on every single thing I want to do full bore. So some things have to take a bit of a backseat to each other. So I'm feeling at this age, I've got to kind of like step away a bit. Not step away, but kind of not back burner, but just like lessen my workload with that. So that's one thing I've got to do. And like for a while, I was like, hey, you know, my job is paying me well enough to do this, to do the things I want to do. No, it's not. Like I've got to get a better job. Or I've at least got to get a more flexible job for when I start going back to school, because going back to school right now is my top priority, because I do want to get a career job, like, and not as a fallback, but I want a career job, because a lot of things I want to do in life are too risky. I need something that's not risky, something that I can get steady work in that I can be proud of, that I can say I love going to my job every day. So that's a goal of mine. That's a gigantic goal of mine, is to do that, to have a job that I love, one that doesn't make me feel like I'm just completely drained mentally and energy-wise. So that's a current and the main goal of mine, is to do that. Again, podcasting, at this point, like my podcasting career, it's got potential if I put work into it, but it's going to be a little bit behind back burner-wise to getting that done. So, you know what? I'm going to skip the next thing I was going to talk about and just go, just kind of alter the order of things I'm doing them. But what I do want, I do want a family. Like, I thought about this, and it was called out about whether I actually wanted it or not. But I've did a lot of thinking this weekend, like, and not like solo thinking. Like, I went to people who knew me, and I asked them what they thought, like, if I could do it, like, if I had it in me, like, if I had it in me to, like, you know, sacrifice myself to do that. I mostly got yeses, and I made sure to ask I was careful on who I asked this, because the answers that I would get would dictate me moving forward. So I needed it to be from people who knew me very well, but who also weren't afraid to tell me, like, bluntly if they thought it was a good idea or not. So I needed that. Like, I needed that badly, and, like, I liked the answers that I got. Like, I'm surprised, but I liked the answers that I got. Initially what caused this was being told that, hey, someone doesn't think I have it in me, to do that. And I asked these friends, and again, like, they want me to do well, but, they pointed out things I didn't even notice. Like, that I'm showing more drive to, like, bettering myself in a more realistic way as far as career goes. And they're thinking that, like, I'm getting drive now for this. And it's not one of those things that you notice. Like, after this show, when I'm done cleaning up my mess, I'm going to end up applying to jobs, again, that will allow me to go part-time so I can do school. Like, that's the most important thing right now, is getting a degree. And I'm going to probably work my ass off to get that degree. Not only do I want to get that degree, like, I want to have a great GPA. I had a shitty GPA in college because my priorities were screwed up at that point. And I'm going to get it. Some people are like, well, my priorities were intact at the same age you were. Yeah, but again, not everybody is on the same pace maturity-wise as others. Some people just, it takes more time for it to sink in. All right? It took more time for me to sink into me. It took, you know, but I want to get there. And it's not just that I didn't want to get there. It's just I didn't. Like, I made mistakes in my early life. Like, for example, I was in school, and I was like, I almost bombed out my first year there. That I couldn't blame focusing on radio, because that was just me being cocky and thinking that I could skate with the same thing that I did in high school. So that lowered my GPA exponentially initially. And then it's to the point where I lost my Pell Grant. So it took me a few years to work up getting that Pell Grant. And then I couldn't afford to go, because I couldn't afford to pay the difference, because the Pell Grants were less money than they used to be, or the classes were more expensive than they used to be. So I had to pay out of pocket, and I just didn't have the money. So I tried to cancel the classes, they didn't cancel, and now my old school is like, you owe us money, and your grades suck now, because we're putting you as failed for those classes because you didn't show up. But I thought I had canceled them, so, I thought they were canceled. That's the thing about that. So I'm screwed there, but I'm going to be going to a different college, and because fuck this school. And I'm going to be going more than full time each semester, because I'm going to be doing summer classes, because I want to be out quickly. I don't want to wait 2 years to finish community college. I want to finish community college in about a year. So I'm going to put the work in to do that. And I'm going to put the work in to get no less than a 3.5 GPA. Like, that's my goal. Because in my mind, I'm smart enough for that. Like, I'm smart enough for that kind of a GPA. I didn't have the work ethic to get that GPA back in the day. So I feel like I'm a better person now. I just wish this would happen 10 years ago so I could have had my degree by now and be good and be settled. And then once I've done that, but I do want to focus on laying the groundwork for the other stuff too. Like I don't want to be alone my whole life. Like I want to actually have a fulfilling life. And that's, I'm realizing it's at 33. Like this is what happens when you get older. You see things and you're like, I wanted this. Like, and like I was in denial about it for years because I'd have friends who would tell me, no, you're going to find someone. You're going to have a family. It's going to be great. You are going to be an awesome dad to a kid. Look at how you are with your nieces. Especially Juliana. Look at how you are with them. You're going to be awesome at the role. Don't doubt yourself. But stupid me would doubt myself and just be like, meh, I'm not going to be good at it. I'm going to be immature. I'm going to be delusional. And that's just not the way I should have went about it. I should have believed what my friends were saying and not brushed it off. Like, and I didn't talk about that a lot because it just seemed like I was ill-suited to do that, or I thought I was. But the thing is, though, like I think like how I handle my niece is different than how I handle kids, but no, it's not. There was a couple years where that kid was living with me, and so I was pretty much like almost acting like a parental figure to that kid because God knows her mom, my sister, me basically, and whatever guy was there at the time weren't doing a good job at it. Like I was doing a better job at the parental role than they were, and I think that's why that kid freaking adores me at this point. So I can do that. Like I've realized, looking back, I'm better at that job than I was. Like I think my biggest fear in trying to start this, for those of you who know me, don't know me that well, I grew up in a situation where my dad was not around, like ever. Like my name is Falcone because my mom's maiden name is Falcone, and he didn't even bother enough to show up and let his name be on the birth certificate. Like that's how pissed off my family was at him. They did not want his name included on the birth certificate. That's a true story. They were angry at him for abandoning my mom right before I was born. So they're like, no, he's not going to carry this guy's last name. He's going to carry our last name because that guy doesn't deserve his name to be on Michael's name. So I grew up without a dad. My dad abandoned my mom before I was even born. So like when you're growing up and you're thinking about wanting to start something like that, like start a family, you're like when you're in this situation where you're like you grew up without that, in your mind you're like, am I gonna do the same thing my dad did? And that was a legit fear for years, for a long time, for most of my life. And then I've realized I'm not going to. I will stick with the kid if and when I have one. Like I will absolutely be there. So like, and I wish that the doubt that had erased itself from my memory 10 years ago. I really do. Like I wish that would have been the fact. But like I wish I'd gone through life better. But again, to me, it's not too late to do better at this, to rectify the damage that I've done to myself over the last 10 or so years. I can do it. Like that's another change, is that I have the confidence in my ability to right that wrong, to right that 10-12 year wrong. So I'm optimistic about that. And it's weird because like it took a weekend of pessimism for me. Like I was in rough shape. Like I've mentioned my mental state a few times to people. Like I'm sometimes I'm okay and I can be good. I can be there for people. I can be strong for people. And then I get these random days or random weekends where I'm just like, how much easier would people's lives be if I weren't around? Like that's been a legitimate question. All right, and again, it doesn't last long. Like it's not a recurring thing, but it happens from time to time. And this past weekend was one of those weekends. Like that's why I'm recording this a day late. I wanted to record this on the 9th. That's why I was gonna do 360 and 420 yesterday, which was the 9th, and wound up not doing it because I needed time to myself and to veg out and to just be like blah. So that was needed. That was much needed. And so I've been realizing, I'm like, no, I'm not gonna be what my sperm donor, I'll just say, was. Like, that's not gonna be me. Like, I'm not going to. And like, the evidence is there with how I was with Juliana. Like, granted, I should have like sacrificed more to ensure that her situation was better. But at the same time, like, my mom was wanting to head that cause, and she, has a more stable job, and just like, if my niece's totem pole priority is my mom than me. So, like, I figured she would be happiest with my mom, but I really should have just sacrificed a little more and done more. I mean, it's tough because I was also dealing with the shit for my sister. I was also dealing with my grandfather. My mom was dealing with the same stuff, but, like, my sister was, like, manipulative and kept, like, no, I'm going to get better and get better for Juliana. But really, she'd be making a driver somewhere so she could get drugs. So she was being completely selfish and using the one thing that she knew would make us let her get her way. Like, it was rough. And if I caught on and said no, she would threaten to steal my stuff. So that's it's so now, like, outside of that, I think I'm just better prepared to get to where I have a fulfilling life. And it's, again, it's a stark contrast. I used to do material on hating dating. I did. And that was me, like, that wasn't me actually hating dating. That was me being like, I'm not good at dating, so I'm going to bash it and be in denial and be delusional and be like, hey, you know, I'm too good for this, guys. I'm too good for this, bro. When really, I'm just like, no, this sucks because I'm not doing well at it. I'm single, so obviously I'm not good at it. So I'm going to make fun of it because that's how I cope with things. That's how I do this. That's how I get over things, is like that. And I absolutely shouldn't have done that. I should have just said, fuck it, started dating more, and not been afraid. But, again, I can't take that back. I can only change course and go the right direction. I got some... Sorry, you guys can hear me clear my throat, because I'm still sick. And, you know, that's just how that goes. All right, so I'm going to quickly talk about a couple things here. I'm excited for season two of Kimmy Schmidt. I've still got to finish season two of Daredevil, but, like, starting this coming Friday, I'm going to binge the fuck out of The Unbreakable Kimmy Schmidt because Kimmy's amazing. Kimmy is fantastic. And Titus Andromedon, I mean, I mixed up Kimmy with wrestling, sorry. Titus Andromedon is one of the most fantastic supporting characters to ever be shown on a sitcom. And I wonder if NBC is, like, shitting themselves because they could have had another hit on their hands and they were just like, meh, and didn't. But whatever. Their loss is Netflix's gain. If you guys are also excited about it or another show that's coming out on Netflix, hashtag by the way and mention the show or just a little talk Kimmy. I finally saw Blackfish. Which I know. 3 years too late, Falcone. 3 years too late. But this, like, I am anti-SeaWorld now after this. I mean, granted, right after I read an article how there's a lot of lies in Blackfish. Like, they exaggerated a lot of things. And a lot of the people who they portrayed as having worked with Telecom, the whale, for example, never worked with Telecom. Never worked with them at all. But, like, they made a claim that in the wild, killer whales, or orcas, whatever you want to call them, are not aggressive to humans. When then, like, a response from SeaWorld goes, no, here's things that have happened outside of theme parks where killer whales were aggressive to people. And then, like, but it points out times when trainers have been killed by killer whales. And they mention that they're put into pens and they're put in pools with each other and they get aggressive towards each other. Like, they will try to assert dominance when they're in a small pool with each other because there's not a lot of space and there's a few of them in there. So, like, they've got to figure out who the alpha is. And there was one thing that they showed on there. A trainer, one of the orcas was trying to get the trainer... are, you know, trying to pull her in, and, you know, trying to, like, rough her up. And one of the other, when she didn't have a spotter, like, she was irresponsible. Like, it was the one time where they said she was irresponsible. SeaWorld said she was being irresponsible, where she was being irresponsible. She didn't have a spotter. She kept, like, touching them with her feet and hands. So one of them grabbed her foot and pulled her in. The cool thing, though, is one of the trainers, like, started playing around with the chains to the pen for the alpha of that whale. So the whale kind of, like, let the girl go and was like, oh, shit, and getting away. So that gave her the time to get out. And there was another time with a guy that they showed, a guy who's, like, a deep-sea diver. And it showed the whale grabbing his foot and pulling him in. And then he was calm. He wasn't thrashing. He remained calm. And eventually the whale let him go and then grabbed his other leg, kept doing it, and he was able to keep calm underwater because he had deep-sea diving training. And eventually the whale just let him go, and the guy just sprinted for it swimming-wise, like, made a beeline for it and got to where he could get out of there because the whale was chasing after him. Like, it was going for him. And Like something might be in these in captivity mess with these whales, like Tilikum. Like it was a friendly, cooperative whale, but the other in the first park, which was like Sealand in Canada, but the other two whales were like raking him or like abusing him because he kept messing up. So the way they did the training, if the whales weren't good, they were starved. So the two female whales were like, well, this whale is the reason why we're not getting our food. So they started raking him, and they put him in a small pen for a while to keep him away from the other two. So and then eventually he killed the trainer for that from them who slipped him, you know, and that was the end of that. So and this whale is still alive. Like they actually use him as their primary sperm bank for other whales. And they for a while they were again, no, we're keeping limited contact with human contact. Meanwhile, there's video from inside the pen showing them like masturbating with a dolphin for its sperm because its sperm is so expensive. Like that's why they will not get rid of this whale and put it in like a colony where it can be with other whales, but not out in the wild. Like simulates the wild. So that was interesting to me. That was actually extremely interesting to me. And just again, it makes you think differently of SeaWorld. Like I couldn't believe the shit that I was seeing. And it, like literally, I told someone, listen, if I have kids at any point, they're not going to SeaWorld. Like I'll bring them to another type of place that doesn't do that. That doesn't like force animals to perform. For people who are just like basic, and SeaWorld has lost a lot of money because of this too. Like they lost like about 85% of their revenue based on this. I'm sure they're still making enough to get there, but to last, but they've lost a lot of money on an account of this documentary, which I think is fantastic that they have. I mean, some of the shit they said they've done, like especially when they were capturing, like how they were capturing whales, like some of the stuff they had people do was just ridiculous. Like the ones that died in the nets, they just were like, hey, gut them. Put rocks and anchors in them and let them be weighed down. So, yeah, that was rough to hear. That and the whale getting separated from its kid, those were rough to hear about. Like the baby Shamu that they separated from the mom. That was tough to hear about. Like, especially they were saying, I mean, granted, apparently this part was BS, but the mother was doing long-range sounds to try to communicate. And that was, like, the most gut-wrenching part of the movie for me right there. And, yeah, just watch Blackfish if you haven't seen it. It's eye-opening. I'm sorry. I've been clearing my throat a lot today. Another thing I want to get on to, you know, I was talking about fitness earlier and being healthy. And the thing about that, one thing people do is they try to have their cake literally and eat it too. So one trend that's been happening that I'm against, I'm completely just not for, are the making desserts so they're bite-sized and then thinking that you're being healthy by eating it that way. Like, it's completely wrong. It's literally the worst way you can go about it. Because what's going to happen? What are you going to do? Are you actually going to eat less because you're eating, like, bite-sized desserts? No, it's not going to happen. You know what's going to happen is you're going to eat far more because you're going to think, hey, you know what? There's not a lot here, so I'm going to have a ton of it. I'm going to have all of the bite-sized desserts, every single bit of it. And because of that, you're going to gain weight because you're eating a ton of desserts. But there are people who think, oh, well, no, they're only 100 calories, so that's fine. I can have all of that, right, guys? I can indulge in all of that. So, what was I going to say? Sorry. As I was saying, I got a text from my mom. Speaking of buying clothing, she's like, oh, I got you some collared shirts in big size and some Star Wars shirts. I'm like, awesome, nice. I'm going to wear the fuck out of those. That's more shirts for me. So, anyway, So I'm against bite-sized snacks because I just don't think they do what their intended purpose is. And to me, I just think it's cheating. I think it's just trying to say, hey, I'm eating healthy. Look at how small these are. But again, it's one regular-sized brownie is less calories than downing 20 bite-sized brownies. Like, that's the thing people aren't getting. Like, and a lot of people, like, they think, oh, I can eat more because it's a smaller portion. No. Like, 10 of a smaller portion is still larger than one regular healthy portion. So, like, people are delusional that way and are just trying to justify eating shittily. But no. Sorry. I keep my throat's getting really bad. So, good thing it's like the tail end of the show. Right, guys? Ha-ha. I'm totally against bites. If I'm going to get dessert, I'm going to get a regular dessert. I'm not going to be like, oh, God, I feel better about myself because I'm only eating a quarter brownie. Hey, let me have another quarter brownie. Oh, I still feel good. I'm healthy. Another quarter brownie. Hey, what? Another quarter brownie. Nice. All right, I'm good. I'm healthy. This is working. Oh, another quarter brownie. Ooh, another quarter brownie. And at that point, I've eaten more than I would have gotten from the quarter brownie. So, or the full-size brownie. And a lot of people do that, too. Like, they think they can eat more of it. Like the 100 calorie packs, like they'll eat multiples of the 100 calorie packs, not realizing they're still eating shit. They're still eating junk food. So either have a regular dessert or don't have dessert at all. Like don't just kind of nibble at it. Either you're gonna make the commitment to eating healthy, or you're going to not be healthy at all and stop fucking with us and fooling with us and pretending that you're eating healthy, because these bite-sized snacks. These healthy choice meals, those Weight Watchers meals, they're not, healthy choice or whatever the brand is. I used to do the brand, so I know what I'm talking about. Like, they're just not good at all. They're not healthy. And yet we're still misguided enough to eat them. They're not actually food. Like, if you want to watch a documentary that's eye-opening about that, watch Hungry for Change and watch Hungry for Change, because that'll actually tell you. These diet foods aren't actually food. They're like genetically, scientifically made foods that just, they taste like food and they're edible. Like, that's what they are. I'm not even fucking with you. You should seriously watch it. Like, and it's not just about junk food. It's about processed foods. And it's about, like, the foods that are labeled as diet foods that people eat. So, it's if you're trying to lose weight and want to get yourself out of, like, and want to actually eat healthy and not eat shit, that pretends that it's healthy, do that. Yeah. So that's my weight rant. So I'm sorry. I wanted to rant, and I feel weird because I don't want to be that guy that lost weight and is shaming other people. But I gained weight back, so I'm shaming myself when I say a lot of this stuff. And I'm like, get back to what you're doing, idiot. I'm literally looking down at myself, hating my stomach. Like, it needs to shrink. So do my thighs. Like, there's so much wrong with me. So I maybe should have ended the show on a lighter note, but what can I do? Seriously, what can I do? Aside from end it on lighter notes from now on and not go out of order. So with, no further ado, that's going to be it for this show for the day. So you follow me at Hipster Punchy if you're not already following me. I don't have any scheduled shows yet. Like I said, I'm going to try to get some, but it's not going to be full bore. It's probably going to be few and far between. But again, thank you guys for listening. This show will be posted shortly on More Like Radio and BrainCRadio.com, which you guys already know because you're listening to the show. Now, let's also, I want to point out too, Captain America, the Winter Civil War is coming out soon. Definitely watch it. Yes! Let's do it all, folks. Let's take over the world together. I'm sounding delusional here because I'm filling time because I started playing the outro song way too early. That's what happens. I sound way too energetic. I sound like I'm on coke, but I don't do coke. I only drink, folks. Or it sounds like a wrestling promo. Wrong show, Falcone. Wrong show. And I don't know, I feel energized. Shut up. Leave me be. Just listen to the Deftones. This is not from the new album, by the way. This is from their older album, Saturday Night Wrist, which I recommend people listen to because it's amazing and because I love this album. Also, one other thing. Don't forget to get your pets spayed and neutered. Or don't. Whatever. I'm not Bob Barker. All right, guys. It's been another episode of By the Way. Have a good weekend. Have a good week. Whatever. Peace.